Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lambasted Luke Cutforth.
What am I being lambasted for?
This week, we're talking about funny feelings and divergent discomfort. But first, we got to thank all of our patrons.
Thank you, all of you.
And if you're not a patron, be one.
And then we'll thank you.
Do you want our affection? Do you want our love? Be a patron. I've also got a question for anyone who's watching or listening. If you're watching, get down to the YouTube comments. If you're listening on Spotify, get to those comments. And if you're not on any of those things and you're elsewhere, find a bear in a cave, okay? Cut it open. Inside, you will find Leonardo DiCaprio. I know it seems strange, but he likes living inside of bears. Anyway, tell him to break up with his 25-year-old girlfriend. And when he does...
That's a bit old.
And when he does, she'll be devastated. She will be. She'll go to the press, and we'll know. We'll know to look out for your answer. So what to do next after that? Climb the tallest mountain, kick a rock down in Morse code, and we'll figure it out.
What's the question, Corey?
Do you have a sensory processing disorder?
Do I? You probably know better than I do.
I'm not sure, Luke. I don't live inside your head. I just live in your dreams. But why don't we get into what an SPD is, a sensory processing disorder. Do you know what it is, Luke?
I could take a guess. Take a big old stab.
Don't stab anyone. But
they
by
won't
all
like
means
it.
Guess.
So I'm guessing it's to do with... some sort of experience where textures and stuff just feel a little bit icky and scary and gross in a way that they don't to most people.
That is one aspect of it. Yeah, that's one.
That's not exactly the definition that's in the DSM-5.
There's actually no definition in the DSM-5, Luke, because it's not in the DSM-5.
Outrage.
We'll get to that towards the end. Thank you for spoiling it. But sensory processing disorder is a neurological condition. It says in children, but... it's not just in children. A lot of these things, you will understand why they talk about it in children a lot in the same way that they talk about autism in children or ADHD in children. It's one of those things where we don't really consider adults that have these issues, despite the fact that many adults do say, hey, I done got this. But anyway, no, it's a neurological condition wherein the brain processes information from the senses, A bit weird sometimes, a bit odd, a bit off, a bit not the way that, you know, a neurotypical person might process those sensory inputs, you know? So it could be overstimulation or understimulation, over-responsivity, that's a word, yeah, or under-responsivity to sort of sensations.
And it's any of the sort of senses?
Yes, any of the, how many senses, Luke?
Oh, God.
How many?
There's at least seven.
Oh, that is true. That is true. There are at
12.
Least seven. Well, there's eight that people often mention.
Four more.
Well, it's definitely not a sense of fashion. Luke, can you name the senses for me?
Okay, so we got sight, we got taste, we got hearing, we got touch, we got, I don't even know, four. Taste.
You
smell?
Said that already.
Smell.
Jesus.
Smell. A sense of heat? No, do we infer that? We probably infer that. A sense of time? No, we definitely infer that. A sense of space? Proprioception?
Well done. Yeah.
A sense of style? A sense of whether someone's being mean to you? No, give me the other ones. What are the other three? Two? Two. What are the other two?
You've got your vestibular system, Luke, obviously.
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 What does that mean?
Which is, of course, Luke.
Say it together now.
Sense of balance.
Yeah.
Oh, sense of balance. Look, yeah, wow, you got it before I even said it. Wow, well done. And do you know another one? Not necessarily the opposite of proprioception, but I like to think of it as kind of like a sister to proprioception.
Like where other stuff is in the world.
Interoception. So whereas proprioception is like, you know, sort of your spatial awareness,
where
right? Like where
be.
You are in space. Interoception is, you know, sort of internal state of your body. So I'm hungry, interoception. I'm thirsty. I need to go pee-pee. Interoception, baby. That's the new Chris Nolan film, by the way. Inception 2, Interoception, wherein Leonardo DiCaprio needs to go pee-pee for quite a while. So SPD, sensory processing disorder, it's not one thing. There are a few different subtypes and a few different sort of symptoms that go along with all of these things. But they're not mutually exclusive, bear in mind. You know, you could have a collection of them. You could pick up little bits here and there from different subtypes. You don't need to fit neatly into one single category. But let's talk a little bit about hypersensitivity and hyposensitivity. Do you know what hyper and hypo mean?
I'm guessing they're the opposite of each other.
Yeah.
One is, I feel things too much. And one is, I don't feel things enough.
That's, yeah, I mean,
like
broadly.
The one where people don't feel like heat or like pain. And they're like, they can put their hand on a stove and it doesn't hurt.
I think that is a different thing. An inability to sort of feel pain. Like, I think it's a nociception, or nociceptors is the sort of general term for pain receptors or the feeling of pain. I think that's slightly different from this. So I'll go through what hypersensitivity might cause. So for example, a low pain threshold, feeling clumsy, fleeing without regard to safety. I'm just reading these out verbatim. You know, covering your eyes and ears, like quite literally, you know, like, you know, you can close your eyes, but sometimes when you close your eyes, that ain't enough. Like, I'm closing my eyes and I can still see all the brights of these lights that we got on us. And, you know, covering your ears because you can't close your ears. Being picky eaters, you know, or just having like a really strong gag reflex, just gagging at like anything that feels like too icky. Soft touches are too hard, you know, like if someone touches you gently, that's too much. Difficulty controlling emotions, difficulty paying attention, lots of these different things. Behavior problems as well. Actually, interestingly, a lot of these sort of symptoms kind of overlap with ADHD, so it can be misdiagnosed as ADHD. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the opposite, hyposensitivity, so hyper meaning sort of too much, or, you know, like, so hyper, you can hyperbole, you know, that's the sort of prefix you've got there. And hypo, as in hypothermia, right? So thermia being cold, temperature sort of thing, and hypo meaning like sort of less or small or not enough. Yeah. So that's not specifically related to what we're talking about. I'm just giving you an understanding of what those prefixes mean, by the way. So hypersensitivity, we've just done hyposensitivity. That would be sort of trying to find more interaction with the world around you because you can't feel enough. You know, that's a sort of general presentation of that. You know, you want to get sensory feedback or more sensory feedback. So having a high pain threshold, bumping into walls, touching things, putting things in your mouth, giving bear hugs, crashing into people or other things, like less concern for personal space, rocking and swaying. A lot of these things are things you'll see in children, but you can see these things in adults. And you might also have, in general, when it comes to SPDs, an aversion to things that are overstimulating, like loud environments, bright lights, intense smells, that sort of thing. Or, you know, alternatively, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you will try and find stimulation in settings that don't stimulate you enough.
Wow.
Right? So these are sort of like, if you think of this as a sort of spectrum idea wherein you've got hypersensitivity, hyposensitivity is the other end, but also it is not, you're somewhere on that spectrum. You can have different elements of different things.
Right,
these,
so you can
right?
be hyposensitive to some things and hypersensitive to other things.
Potentially, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so.
Mm. I feel like I'm hypersensitive to the texture of mushrooms. I absolutely, like, that. Not me, not saying that that's like, I now have this condition because I don't like the texture of mushrooms, but I can't eat things with mushrooms in.
Really? I've seen you eat mushrooms so many times.
Yeah, begrudgingly. Like, or because I'm around people who I don't want to be like, I don't like mushrooms. But like, yeah, just the texture's always bugged me so much.
What, like, a terrible vegan. I feel like you've not had mushrooms cooked properly. Is it like every single kind of mushroom you've ever had?
Yeah, if you get like great mushrooms, I will put them in my mouth and I'll enjoy the taste and then I'll swallow them whole. Mm. I'll like swallow whole mushrooms.
Have you had have you gone to restaurants with like well-cooked mushrooms?
I've tried so hard and I just swallow them whole.
Is this different kinds? I don't know why we're going on this tangent, but different kinds of mushrooms, like your oyster mushrooms or whatnot? Okay, fair enough.
Either they're too furry or they're too rubbery. And so I just swallow them all.
I'm going to cook you some mushrooms and see if we can... No, don't worry. Don't worry. If you don't like them, you have to eat them. But
I'll just swallow them.
No, I'm curious. But yeah, that's interesting. But that would kind of... That's where you get sort of picky eaters, right? Not in all cases of picky eaters, but that specific thing there. Because most people, Luke, or not most people, but plenty of people, when they absolutely despise the taste, the texture of something, they will not eat it rather than just gulp it down anyway. But plenty of people do what you do too, and that's perfectly valid. Absolutely. But yeah, no, so picky eaters might actually have like issues with textures and smells and tastes where it's really intense, and that's why, you know, they can't bear to eat certain foods. Like, actually, for example, I cannot stand the texture of bananas. Like, I literally, maybe I'll put this video in if I can find it, but I was trying to eat a banana. I was doing banana training on the US tour that I was on, in April 2023? And I cried.
Wow.
Yeah, not like intentionally. It was so overwhelmingly horrid to try and eat the banana that I cried. It was three bites. I was getting one more bite every day. I think three was my max, honestly. Like, just my body could not handle it. And this has been my entire life. Like, I like the taste of bananas. I love the smell. I like banana flavored things. I like banana bread. I just cannot stand the texture of a banana. It's horrid.
I kind of get it. I mean, like, I quite like a banana in a good in a good state. But if it's like, it's kind of a knife edge, like a too far either way, they are actually quite revolting.
Any banana. The Any perfect banana,
right,
would make me sick.
What about little banana sweets?
Oh, those are fine.
Great.
Okay. Love little banana sweets.
Nice.
Little banana chips. Yeah, but I don't think that's what the patrons who voted for this episode, which is why we're doing it, by the way, didn't mention that up top, but our patrons vote on episodes, and we're doing one of them right now. I don't think that's what they necessarily came to this episode for. So should we talk about different types of sensory processing disorder?
Yes. Do you want me to try and guess what they are?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, fine. Yeah.
No. Do you want to give it a go? You're not going
to
get it.
Yeah. No, I don't
actually
want to.
You might get one.
No, I won't.
It starts with a D, and then a Y, and then an S.
Dysphoric.
And then a P.
Dysphoric.
Then an R.
Dysphraxic.
Where are you getting the H?
Dysparic.
Dyspraxic.
Dyspraxia.
Yes, well done, Luke.
All on my own. No clues.
That was You got so... Sometimes... This is becoming very bonus episode-like, which is very fitting because our patrons get bonus episodes. You should go ahead and join our Patreon. It's interesting. Someone commented on a lateral video the other day. We were on lateral with Tom Scott. Go ahead and check that one out. Saying, Luke got really stuck on this one interpretation of the question and carried it through the entire time. I think it was we were talking about a mountain and you were like, conquered a mountain. That must mean someone owns the mountain now. And the entire time, someone, you know, you're talking about like, the entire time you were like trying to figure out how the question made sense in terms of someone owning a mountain. and someone pointed that out in the comments and I was so close to being like, yeah, that's a very Luke thing to do, to just like hone in on, like you were like, disfa, you honed in on that PH there. Like,
not letting it go.
So dyspraxia, yeah, that is one type, but we'll get to that at the end. That's a little, put a pin in it, save that one for later. That's your little treat, that's your little dessert there. But the first type of SPD, so there's three types, and some of those types have different subtypes. So there's lots to go through, pay attention. Okay, does everyone pay attention? So the first type is sensory modulation. There are three subtypes of this. The first one is sensory over-responsivity. So someone with that might go out of their way to avoid sensory stimulation. So, you know, covering your ears and eyes, as we sort of mentioned earlier. So that's essentially a sensitivity to sensory inputs. Everything is too much. It's too many. It's overwhelming, right? Under-responsivity is the opposite of that, right? Wherein, like, you don't necessarily notice what's going on around you because you're just not sort of noticing your sensory inputs, if that makes sense. So you could be, if it's really loud or if it's really hot or whatever, you're just kind of, like, not registering that. You're just not noticing, really. The third subtype would be sensory craving. Can you imagine what that might be?
Yeah, you're craving sensory input.
But how would that present?
Well, like going out of your way to like touch stuff or like make like go to noisy places, like go to like a music festival or like stroke furry things or like punch yourself or like some of that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So like, kids that have this are sometimes referred to as like bumper and crashers because they'll like run into stuff and just like they're seeking like sensory input. You know, like even if it's as simple as like, you know, climbing trees or, you know, as I said, running into people, but it's like more because, you know, sort of you're under stimulated essentially, right? And you want more sensory input. So that's all within the first sort of type of SPD, which is sensory modulation. And those were the three subtypes there. So the first subtype is sensory over-responsivity, then it's under-responsivity. And then the last one is sensory craving.
Now, I wonder, I'm going off memory here. I watched the documentary for Dan Radcliffe's stunt double, who was like injured very badly whilst filming and is now in a wheelchair. And he was talking about how, I'm going to butcher this, but basically what I'm getting at is I wonder if like stunt doubles, some people in stunt double work might be this, like the sort of sensory craving, because you're there's so much stimulation when being a stunt double. Mm. And if you're maybe not feeling pain as much as you would, I think one of the guys in there in that documentary that we interviewed talked about from a very young age, he just didn't feel fear and he didn't really feel pain. Mm. And that led him into a career where like most people would be scared and either they would feel pain or they would be anticipating feeling pain. And he just, for whatever reason, just didn't have that.
Yeah, that's I'm so glad you brought that up, right? So the first, that was all under the first type, right? We're now moving on to the second type of sensory processing disorder, or the second category. That would be a sort of difficulty with sensory discrimination or learning with your senses, right? So it's difficulty sort of making judgments using your senses. Mm. So even if you know, if we do a task every day, right? For example, you get this sort of idea of the way of a knife that you use every day. You know how it feels in your hand. Now, if you were to use another knife, it would feel a little bit different, right? And it wouldn't necessarily be as comfortable as the knife that you use every day because there's different weights, there's slightly different things to them, right? Now, someone with sort of that sort of difficulty with sensory discrimination might not be able to sort of kind of figure out, okay, well, how much does this thing weigh? Like, how much effort do I need to put into this? How much effort do I need to push down on this, right? Like, if you're lifting something up, for example, not necessarily being able to sort of evaluate like how heavy the thing is, and so how much force you should put into it.
Right.
Right, which is interesting, right? Because like, if you think about it, there's so many things that you don't think about constantly, like how much effort you put into doors, for example. I often seem like I can't open heavy doors because I do not want to break the doors. I'm not even joking. Like, I would break things often. And so I'm like, okay, I just got to be careful because if you put in too much force on something, it will just break. So like a door that isn't even too heavy, but like is maybe a little bit stiff, I'm like, I don't want to put in too much.
The weirdest flex I've ever heard.
It's not that I'm that strong.
I have to be careful with doors or I'll break the doors.
It's not that I'm strong. It's that I'm just stupid. Okay? We're all strong enough to break a door, but we're not all stupid enough to do it.
I don't know that I'm strong enough to break a door.
You're definitely strong enough to break a door.
How would I break a door?
Okay, look, we'll get a door and you can break it, okay?
Thank you, okay.
Right, at some point, we'll find a door and you can break the door.
Patreon bonus clip.
God.
Luke breaks door.
If we get enough on Patreon, yes, we can stop paying salaries and just start buying doors.
One door a month for Luke to break.
Doors are actually very expensive, Luke.
Well, it's one door a month.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I thought it was my tinnitus, but it turns out it's the ad bell.
What is he ringing for this week, Luke?
Well, today the show is being sponsored and supported, as always, actually, by our Patreon.
What's a Patreon? Is that where people can go and pay for trees on something?
That is not what it is. Maybe we'll do that as a perk one day. But for now, the Patreon is a place where people can go, people who love this show, like you, for example, can go and support the show existing. It's very complicated and expensive to make this show, and our patrons help it to exist. So we think you are very lovely for doing that.
Yeah, if you've ever noticed anyone's name scrolling through at the end of a Sci Guys episode, that's because they're our patrons, and we want to thank our patrons for helping us make this show. So to do that, we give them a whole bunch of things. Perks like bonus episodes and a different show and other things. What else do we give them, Luke?
They get to submit topic ideas for the show for Corey to consider, and then also those topic ideas go into a vote that is voted on every month by our patrons only. So they basically get to control us once a month.
So if you really love Sci Guys and you're not content with just sitting back and watching us natter on, you want to have a hand in the show, you want to be a part of it, go ahead and sign up to our Patreon because you can be a part of this show.
Shall we get on with that show?
We shall. So it's like not using your proprioception, you know, your sense of space and whatnot, to figure out how much something might weigh and then, you know, like then putting in the right amount of force, or just like not using enough, and so not being able to do the thing. Yeah, it can be difficult, obviously. Like, that could be really embarrassing, right? Just fumbling with things, or like splashing things around if you're like trying to pick up a glass and like, oh, that was too much, whoopsie daisy. Like, it's just, it's being clumsy, right? But I feel like clumsiness, we don't often think of that from the inside. We just see it from the outside. A lot like sort of ADHD. We've spoken about this on the podcast before, wherein, you know, people view ADHD kind of from the outside rather than considering what it feels like from the inside. And this can kind of highlight that if someone's clumsy, they may have, you know, some kind of sensory processing disorder, because, you know, not to say that everyone that's clumsy absolutely has some kind of SPD, but that's how that can manifest, right? You can just seem very clumsy, but the truth is that you're just not really able to sort of judge based on your senses as well as other people can.
Which, to be fair, how else would you judge it? Like, it's not like you can, like, weigh an object before you pick it up and be like, right, that's how much muscle tension I need to use.
Yeah.
You do it by judging the weight, and then your muscle just sort of automatically responds based on that. So, yeah, that's really difficult.
It's difficult,
if you're
right?
just, like, constantly over-accelerating objects. Like, if you picked up, I suppose the thing that anyone who doesn't have this would do, like, to understand is, imagine someone, like, filled a suitcase full of bricks and then got you to pick it up. And you knew how heavy those bricks were. And then without you realizing, they took all the bricks out and then you picked up the suitcase again. You'd like throw the suitcase in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. But also imagine, right, like someone filled a suitcase with bricks, right? And every day you went to pick up that suitcase and you just knew that it was full of bricks, right? Now that would be like basically using your senses and like understanding how much the thing weighs, especially if you're doing it like every single day. But yeah, like adding to that, imagine if someone, say, filled that suitcase with bricks, right? And you picked it up every single day, but every day you forgot that there were bricks in the suitcase. That's kind of what this is, right? Like not being able to retain like that sort of sensory information of like, not even just like trying to pick it up and being like, oh, this is how much it is, and then going. It's like not even being able to remember something you've done every day, how much that is.
Yeah.
So that was the second category. And then the last category is sensory-based motor disorder. And this has two subtypes. The first one is postural disorder. So that's just difficulty with movement, sort of generally sort of presents as being sort of clumsy, like moving in a kind of clumsy sort of way. Can have difficulty with like sort of being stable, sort of like, you know, balancing oneself. But yeah, also it can sort of present as like a difficulty with like using your hand on the other side of your body, right? So if you think of your body as being split down the middle, right? Your right hand on the left side, like crossing the midline, that like difficulty with things like that. You could be tripping over your feet, difficulty like sort of all with like balancing and all of that sort of stuff, right? Like that kind of clumsiness can be a sensory processing disorder. If you think about it, it's like sort of issues with your sort of balance and your proprioception. If you don't know where your body is in space, it's very easy to trip over your feet. They're so close together, and in my case, they're quite big.
Well, the thing you said about using your hand on the other side of your body, so like if you put your right-hand side on the left side of your body, and then suddenly it became more difficult to use it, it sort of reminds me of the episode we did on split brains, where like for like various reasons, a doctor or a surgeon or something might like cut your brains in half.
So you basically, much a surgeon thing to do. Do you know what I mean? They're just cutting stuff up to see what happens. They're like, chop, chop.
And not your GP, crucially, I did say. your GP goes in like, right, open up your brain. What that reminded me of was like, there's this thing about that where, because you then have two separate hemispheres and your like right hemisphere controls your left side of your body and your left hemisphere controls your right side of your body. And also, it's not that you're, weirdly, it's not that your right hemisphere like sees out your left eye, but it's that your right hemisphere sees out the left side of both of your eyes.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And that almost sounds like, I'm absolutely speculating here, but it almost sounds like there's also difficulties like with the signal crossing across the hemispheres, right? Because if your right hand is on your left side of your body, then the side of your body that is perceiving the hand is different to the one that normally perceives that hand. Does that make sense?
I get what
like
you're saying,
You swap across. And if you don't have any problems with the signal going across your two brain hemispheres, then that won't be an issue. But if you do, then that will be a real issue because you've swapped. It's like passing a task from one computer to the other.
I get you. Potentially, yeah. I think, like, generally, this is viewed through the sort of lens of the sensory information. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, proprioception and sort of balance. I can't remember the longer name that I said earlier, but you can skip back if you're watching. You know what I mean? Yeah, but, like, that is a really interesting sort of idea there.
Yeah, just occurred to me.
No, so moving on to the second subtype of sensory-based motor disorder, that would be dyspraxia. Remember that one from earlier?
I remember dyspraxia.
So that's difficulty planning and executing actions. So you might have difficulty sort of like tying your shoelaces. People with dyspraxia can struggle with that. Like someone I know has dyspraxia, and it's just like sometimes they just have real difficulty just doing things. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like, and like spilling things on themselves. Like, honestly, like it's like just difficulty just carrying out sort of tasks. So the example I've got in my notes is, you know, let's say you've got a child who's got dyspraxia. If you give them a box and say, like, do something with it, they won't necessarily know what to do. Whereas a neurotypical kid might say, like, I can climb in the box, I can go under it, I can push it. This sort of person with dyspraxia might have difficulty trying to, like, come up with an idea of, like an action do. But yeah, so like new situations require new motor planning, and motor planning is difficult there, right?
Yeah.
Basically, like sort of like, okay, I'm going to do this thing, and then like executing on that action.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably do an entire episode on dyspraxia, to be honest. I literally found out in researching this that dyspraxia was like just a subtype, like a sort of a subcategory of a category of SPD.
Yeah, it's crazy how much we take that stuff for granted as well. Like, when I tie my shoelaces, I don't even know how I do that. I just go, like, execute shoelace code, and my hands just do it.
Yeah.
It's
no,
so
like,
weird.
Actually, like, imagine trying to teach a child to do things, and you're like, wait, how do I do this thing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, just tie your shoes. Like, I don't know how. Well, just do it, you know? You just look at your shoes,
and then they're tied.
Like,
that's what happens with me.
Yeah, like, how do you ride a bike? First you get on it, and then you just, and then you're riding it.
Step two, ride a bike.
And then just don't stop. Like, yeah. That's it. Just
until you do.
Yeah.
In which case, you do.
And then you're done. But stop safely. That's it. There you go.
How do you stop safely? Step one, stop safely.
Yeah. Step one, you brakes, and then step two, you're done. I mean, I guess I could think this through. You know, you're like, if you want to get on ride a bike, you got to get on it, right? And then you put one of your feet on the pedals.
But it'd be like that thing. You play that trick on us a while ago where you were like, put your hands up in the air and imagine you're driving a car.
Oh, yeah.
Now imagine you're turning to the right. And now imagine you're stopping turning to the right.
Switch lanes. Yeah.
And we all don't do the little extra corrective other way turn that you do. So you go like right, and then you come back to center, and I go a little bit left to straighten up, and then right, and then center again.
Yeah, but you do it like just unconsciously when you're driving a car. So what Luke's kind of describing there is, we were talking about unconscious actions, and this was a long, long time ago. I think probably maybe before we were in this studio, who knows? Maybe when we just started in this studio. But the idea is that you don't, like, it's really difficult to sort of describe some actions that you do. And that thing there, yeah, is that, like, naturally, when you're switching lanes in a car, you turn right to switch the lane, and then you have to overcorrect so that your car turns back straight. But what most people will do is just turn straight.
Yeah.
Because they don't realize. Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to clarify for anyone that wasn't sure. Also, I don't know if I was listening to the entire thing. I support you, and I value what you have to say. I just don't necessarily listen to it. So those are the sort of subtypes and the different types and whatnot. Can you imagine any causes for sensory processing disorder?
And I guess injuries.
Wow. Yes.
And genes.
Oh, denim. Interesting.
Yes, too tight.
Ah, yes.
So I'm going to guess there's lots of different ways of this happening. Sometimes you can be born with it. Sometimes you can be the result of an injury. Sometimes it could be the result of something else, like, taking some drug that makes your whole nervous system kind of fry.
Maybe. I don't know about that last one.
I made it up. That's why.
Yeah. make sure you say that because people are listening to this podcast for science.
Yes, I'm wrong a lot.
Can I just say, I'm going to take a little break in this episode to say anyone that's commenting saying, I wish you guys were more like this other person that talks about more science. Watch the other person. We do exactly the amount of science that we want.
We're just giving you options.
Yeah.
If you don't like this option, go choose your option.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
It's like this podcast, I would like it more if it was not this podcast. Yeah. Then I don't think you like this podcast. And that's okay. Because I don't make it for any of you. I make it for me. A little bit. Just a little bit. But no, I also make it for our patrons who we love. Anyway, back to the causes. So yeah, you're pretty much spot on there. God.
Other than the bit where I said that you take some drug and it makes your spine fried.
I suppose I don't listen to you enough. And I should continue not doing that.
But can you not get an SPD as like a result of like a side effect from a medication or a treatment?
Look, man, I don't have that in my notes in front of me, so
probably not.
Why don't you just leave that and ignore it? And we'll carry on. So, it could be present sort of from birth, as you were saying, premature birth or low birth weight. Also, it could be potentially lack of sensory stimulation in childhood or overexposure to certain chemicals. Those could be risk factors as well. I'm not saying that as a definite. It's just a potential. Like, as far as I'm aware, this isn't really as well studied as it could be. Abnormal brain activity could change how the brain responds to stimuli and how it like sort of interprets senses. But then also it's connected to different sort of disorders or different sort of conditions, like autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, sleep disorders, developmental delay, and brain injury. So, you know, it's we don't understand a lot about this, but it is very much tied. It is very much tied in the sort of public consciousness. It's tied sort of in the zeitgeist, I would say, to autism. Particularly, right? You know, I mean, you could probably imagine like the ear covering, the eye covering, all the sort of stuff I was mentioning earlier.
Interesting. So is that a result of a separate SPD as opposed to part of autism itself?
This is the difficulty, right?
Yeah, like it's blurry.
It's blurry. I don't actually know, and there seems to be sort of like, I guess, a debate. I don't know if there's a consensus on quite what it is yet. I mean, it's not in the DSM-5 or the ICD-10, is it? The ICD-10, sorry. Basically, the DSM-5 would be the big book of mental disorders, and the ICD-10, the International Classification of Diseases, is basically a big book of diseases and disorders and whatnot. It's not in either of those. I have read, and you can read in the sort of references, a sort of, I guess, petition or proposal for it to be added to the DSM. And yeah, it's one of those murky areas where it's like it doesn't necessarily meet the criteria for its own entry. But yeah, whether it's something that is just a symptom that is present amongst all of these sorts of things, it's just something that kind of would happen when, you know, there are issues with how the brain interprets senses, or whether it is its own discrete disorder. I don't know. I don't know remotely enough about this topic to make any sort of statement on that. And all I can say is that it's not in either of those sort of disease classification sort of books, let's say. And there seems to be some debate on it, but again, that's all I can say because I don't know enough about this to throw in my two cents.
Nice. That was very comprehensive. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I try, you know. But why don't we talk about the link to autism and ADHD? Because again, I wouldn't say that this is caused by autism. It very well could be. Who knows? But it is quite strongly linked to it in the sense that, they seem to be quite comorbid. In fact, it's the sort of sensory stuff is basically it goes hand in hand with autism. I think it might even be I can't remember the diagnostic criteria of autism off the top of my head, but it might even be part of the diagnostic criteria. I don't know if someone in the comments can correct us, and we'll give that comment a little heart. You can find it.
It's definitely on the sort of like quizzes, like the sort of things you do online, like AMO artistic things. It talks about senses and whether you get overstimulated by senses and things like that. That's definitely in there.
It is part of the diagnostic criteria, hyper or hyporeactivity to sensory input. Yeah. Whether it's how that links to autism, I'm not really sure. But then dyspraxia is its own sort of thing as well, you know, and they're not mutually exclusive as well. I want to point out, right? Like, so you can be dyspraxic and also have different sort of sensory hypersensitivity or hyposensitivity as well. Again, let's get back into autism. So if we talk about like the sort of sensory processing in autism, like that hyposensitivity, like a lot of people with autism will say, I've got really high pain tolerance. And they probably do have a high pain tolerance, but they also have a very low tolerance for discomfort. Right. Like, I mean, I'm sure if you know enough autistic people, you will know people that will cry because of a texture. Okay, yes, I did that for bananas, but that's my one. Bananas are my one thing, okay? We all get one, I'm sure.
That's your kryptonite.
That's, oh God.
Bananas.
Yeah, man.
What a lame superior.
I'm not scared of bananas even. It's just, it makes me cry if I have to have more than a couple. Oh God, it was God.
I'll try and smash a door and you try and eat a banana.
On Patreon, I will fully, maybe we'll set some kind of goal or something, but I will fully eat an entire banana for a Patreon video.
Wow.
I'll try. I might throw up. It was really difficult, honestly.
That made the video better. That's fine.
It was really tough. But yeah, no, I mean, like, we all, if you know, like, enough autistic people, you'll know that sort of, that's the sort of sensory needs that a lot of autistic people have. I mean, I would almost go as far as saying, like, sort of all autistic people have, right? Like, in terms of, like, certain textures, even, like, clothes aren't right. And, you know, to someone else, they might feel exactly the same, but they sort of hypersensitivity to different textures might make those feel drastically different. This sort of hyposensitivity, so like low, like a high pain tolerance, you know, not really, or like lack of sort of interoception is something that's really common with autistic people as well, right? Wherein you don't recognize that you're hungry, or you don't recognize that you're what is this, like, you've got to like sort of figure out what the feeling is intellectually. And in ADHD as well, you can kind of procrastinate going to the toilet, or like be so focused on something that you don't realize you're thirsty. Like, I have it very often where I am so focused on something and like I've been on it all day, and then I'm really hungry, I'm very hungry, but I'm completely unaware of the fact that I'm hungry until like maybe I smell some food or I start cooking and like, you know, I get that little whiff and I start thinking about food and I'm not so focused on the other thing. And suddenly it all comes at once and I'm like, oh my God, I'm ravenous right now. I could eat a horse, you know, like, so you can see there's sort of different links here, right? If we talk about the vestibular system, do you remember what that is?
Yeah, it's the guys in your ears who tell you when you're wonky.
That's right. Balance and equilibrium, we can say.
That's what I said.
If we talk about autism in sort of relation to different sort of SPDs, I mean, there's not a huge amount of data, or like we don't have a huge understanding of some of these things, but if we talk about like sort of olfactory and gustatory, so like smell and sort of taste, that sort of thing, right? When it comes to autistic people, it's kind of a commonly sort of agreed, I guess it's a common consensus that people like autistic people can be either hypo or hyper responsive to certain tastes, so like really sensitive to certain smells, right? Like that could be something there, which could then result again in like picky eating. So it's not just the textures, it could also be the smells and whatnot, right? The auditory stimuli, if we talk about that, it's also quite well established in research that autistic people can be very sort of sensitive to different sort of sounds, but also enhanced pitch perception and things like that. These are all things that can be found in autistic people. It's really interesting, actually, like how sort of like how linked these things are. And when it comes to the sort of question of whether they're different things, as I said, SPD It's not included in the DSM-5. It's not in the ICD-10. And those are the two things that sort of diagnostic tools that are used across like healthcare across the world in healthcare. And so whether it's its own specific thing or something that is a symptom,
it feels like a symptom, yeah. Because if it can happen, say for example, it was part of whatever causes autism, ADHD, and sort of that sort of umbrella of conditions, it can also be caused by like a physical injury, right? Like a brain trauma injury. So like that would suggest that it's, if it can be caused by that as well, then that would suggest it's a symptom.
I would imagine so, yes. But then, I mean, again, like I mean, you can go and read the sort of debates that are happening about this, but it's really, it's difficult to parse through, right? Because, I mean, yeah, when you hear about SPDs, generally you'll hear about dyspraxia. Like dyspraxia is kind of considered, that's its own thing, right? Mm. But a lot of the other stuff are kind of seen as just, this is a feature of autism. This is a feature of ADHD. And in fact, interestingly, ADHD, as I mentioned earlier, can be sort of, people can be diagnosed with ADHD, misdiagnosed with ADHD, when actually they've got some kind of sensory processing disorder. Because, you know, if you think about it, they can present really similarly.
Yeah, sort it of looks like understimulation.
Yeah, well, the inattentiveness, right, that you see in people with ADHD can be inattentiveness due to just not having sort of, like, not noticing sensory inputs, right? Sorry, I cut you off. Do you want to?
Well, especially like the idea that you were saying about like running into stuff or like listening to something really loud. It feels like it's like an understimulated mind, right?
Yeah.
Like a brain that's craving sensory input because it's not stimulated properly, which I think is a factor in ADHD as well as, it sounds like, sensory processing disorders.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that the sort of root cause can be different in these things while they present the same. So, right, that hyperactivity, for example, right, really seeking out sensory input and hyperactivity, different kind of causes in, like, you know, with ADHD and SPD, right, potentially in cases, right, but still present the same, in the same sense that inattentiveness, people with ADHD aren't necessarily inattentive because they don't notice their sort of senses.
Yeah.
But
that brain is just shutting down.
Yeah. But the case for SPD, you just like don't notice that sensory input, right? And actually, interestingly, when it comes to ADHD, if you want to predict for more severe sensory processing problems, right? Because again, sensory processing disorders can also be linked in some ways to ADHD. Again, I don't think we know too much about this, but if you want to predict for more severe sensory processing problems in ADHD kids, you can look at oppositional defiant disorder, which we've done an entire episode about, and anxiety. So if they've got, you know, ODD or anxiety, that doesn't make it more likely, but you're more likely to see severe sensory processing problems in those kids, which makes sense, right? Because like you're probably going to be more anxious if you've got issues processing senses or sensory input.
Oh, like for sure.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's pretty much it. That's all we've got on it today. I mean, we've basically just gone through what it is, some of the potential causes and whatnot. But ultimately, this is something that I think needs quite a bit more study. Yeah, and whether or not it's its own mental disorder, that remains to be seen. At present moment, it's kind of agreed upon that it isn't, but that could potentially change in future. Who knows? It is definitely, you know, sensory processing disorders. They are definitely a thing. We just don't quite know enough about them to judge whether they're their own thing or what specifically causes them. But I think there's just one thing left to do, Luke. It's the quickfire quiz.
Dun 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 dun. Sensory processing disorder edition.
Well, the rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. Luke, that's one question between you and the audience. The first person to answer after finishing asking the question wins. What do they win?
They win something very stimulating if they want it, and something very not stimulating if they want that instead.
Fantastic. Luke, my question for you is, what is one of the types of SPD?
Oh, dyspraxia.
Ding ding ding. Yeah. That is correct. Well done. We've got another thing to do, Luke. We've got to thank all of our new patrons.
We have to thank all of our new patrons. Thank you.
So a big thanks to Seb.
Thank you, Dean Hoff.
Thank you, Hannah.
And thank you, Mikhail.
Well, that is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Denito and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe to new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com. SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupworth everywhere.
Bye.
Bugger off.